though we may see some things happening that we feel like are scary or are going to really impact us, remember to just always bring it back to your sovereign being. You are in charge of yourself, and you ultimately have all the power in your reality as long as you choose to hold on to that power. So I think that's going to be really important during the first part of July, because I am imagining that we're going to see a little bit of a shit show on the global stage. And so just remember your power, remember your sovereignty.
This is Leah Steele. Welcome to the Wealth Witch podcast. Just a few years ago, I experienced complete financial collapse. We lost a business, our home, and a car. My husband was selling plasma to pay for diapers and formula. I was living a life I hated, and I was miserable. It was the lowest part of my life. It ended up being my biggest blessing. Just a few short years later, I've designed the life of my dreams. I live a life of luxury in beautiful Bali, Indonesia, travel the world, and spend my days helping others manifest wealth and abundance. Living a purpose-led life changed everything for me. This podcast is about my journey, my top tips and tools for manifestation, and interviews with all the amazing, world-changing, inspiring people I meet along the way. Welcome to my world.
Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of The Wealth Witch Show. I am your host, Leah Steele, The Wealth Witch, and I'm super excited today to be bringing you the July wealth forecast. And this is a very special wealth forecast because I have a special guest today that I am so excited about. It's one of my clients and friends, Amanda Darsh, who has recently been invited to be a content creator as part of the Leo King, David Palmer's High Vibe TV platform. This is really, really exciting, and I'm so just pumped and excited for her because it's such an incredible opportunity. She's doing a show on High Vibe called Luna Elements, which is a series where she incorporates her understanding of astrology, esoteric, and mystical realms, channeling the charts and planets, divining with Tarot, and her divine connection to her guides of all realms to bring guidance and support to the collective. So I'm so excited to have her here with me today. We are going to be diving into what the planets, the energies, what the divine has in store for us in the month of July, as well as, of course, we will be doing the day-to-day tarot forecast. So I'm super happy that you're here, and I'm so excited for you. Welcome. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about you and about what you do and about this new collaboration with the Leo King?
Yeah, absolutely. So ever since 2017, my reawakening, tarot and channeling and astrology has been a really massive focus for me. And in discovering a lot about my astrology and my human design, I realized that I'm just a channel and I am an alchemist, because Cancer is the alchemist of the zodiac. So it's been really about like the work that I've been doing with yourself, as you know, like clearing a lot of those limiting beliefs and doing a lot of that really deep work to really embody that and trust my channel, you know, and yeah, really embrace what my purpose is and start actually doing it. Full hog. You know, I started my business in 2018, and I used to do psychic and wellbeing expos every Sunday, and then that's transformed into a lot more. And all of it's not just tarot reading anymore, it's like a whole deep dive into everything with my clients now. So it's been amazing.
So exciting. And I have to say, so I'm super excited to have you here talking with me today about wealth and astrology and how that all comes into play. But I do have to say that you are an Ouroboros alumni, and you are also an alumni of Wealthy World Changer. So you have been diving deeply into your own personal wealth consciousness journey over the last year. So maybe tell us a little bit about the shifts and changes that have happened for you. I mean, I guess I would love to hear from you. Like, you know, obviously you've done Ouroboros and you've done Wealthy World Changer, but like, how has deconstructing that programming and conditioning and now really understanding how astrology and planetary influences play a role in how we operate in the world of wealth, like how has that all come together for you? Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. Like just in my own personal astrology, so I have a lot of second house placements of Venus and the moon. both Virgo and Leo respectively. They're both in the second house, which is Taurus and Venus and value. So a lot of my conditioning has come just from that natal placement alone of being that if I am not if I don't have money, I'm not of value, you know? And so working with you has really stripped that away from me and realized that I'm a sovereign being. I am valuable just through existing, you know? And so it's really helped remove that limiting belief that we place on ourselves when we do dive into things such as astrology and human design and things like that. We start to really like marry and usurp, like, oh, I'm this because of my sun sign, or I'm this because of this. Like, that drives me crazy. Like, I'm an astrologer. I know the planets don't lie. However, I don't like limiting myself. So that's why I wanted to work with you in the first place, because I know that that would have been removed entirely, which it has been. But also that's one thing that I really champion for my clients. Like, when I sit down with them, I'm like, you know, this is your placement. This is like the blueprint you were born with. Yes, but this isn't your, you know, this is what you get to work with now. You know, like, this is what you get to integrate and transcend so that you can use it to your benefit. So, yeah, Ouroboros, wealthy world changes, like everything that I've worked with you for really has been driving home, like even filling out those application forms that you have for the Ouroboros and things like that. Like, I remember filling those out and I was basically channeling my higher self in those moments, and I was just like, wow, like, some of this stuff I've never even have come to consciousness before, you know? So, yeah. It's an activation. The whole process is an activation in and of itself. So I can't recommend it highly enough for people. Like, definitely do the thing if you haven't already done it. Like, do it.
I want to riff on a couple things that you just said. And one, I just want to say, like, huge congratulations to you. Because of showing up and doing the wealth work and, like, really going all in, like, you went all in. You fully committed, you know, to this work. And because of doing that, you were able to really show up for yourself energetically. And I mean, how freaking crazy that just this short time later, you're literally on the network of like one of the most well-known celebrity astrologers.
Oh my God, I know. And it's been, that I've even said this to like the High Vibe family, that it's been a shadow working exercise in of itself. Like, I thought like working with you had cleared a lot of that stuff. But then, like, having David Palmer invite me on and they're so lovely, like, and the community is so lovely. It's just, like, really, like, pummeled that whole, like, my Chiron wound in Taurus of, like, not being accepted, being misunderstood. It's in the 11th house, so, like, being alienated my whole life and not made to feel enough in, like, friends circles and peer groups, like, it's really like been another shadow working exercise in of itself. I can't tell you how many times I've cried and like had been like just massive releases. Like, yeah, it's just been unreal. Like, I was seriously out in orbit with Pluto for like 3 days when Anne and David invited me on. I was just like, I can't speak to either of them right now because I'm just going to sound like a crazy person.
Well, I'm super proud of you and the work that you've done. And I think it's just really a testament to when we do show up for ourselves and we do commit to doing this deeply deconstructive wealth consciousness work, that the sky's the limit and that this is how quickly things can change. This is how rapidly things can transform. It's like 1 minute you're learning astrology and you're diving deeply into your astrology, you know, courses and classes. And I remember you really being like in the thick of that and in the heart of that. And the beauty of you is that you're such an incredible channel too, right? So it's like you were learning all the foundational stuff, but you've got this epic channel, which you guys will see as we move into the wealth forecast. But then to like just break down the barriers, to get the stuff out of the way around the worthiness and the deserving, which is that work that we do in Ouroboros, and the work that we did in Wealthy World Changer. And for you to just be like, yes, I'm all in, I'm shifting these patterns. I want to show up. Like, I'm ready to do this work. I'm ready to change my life. And the universe goes, okay, here you go. You've got to show on High Vibe now. So I want to talk about something that you just said, because I think it's really important. And it's something I talk about a lot. And it is that all of these things, they're frameworks for us to operate inside of. Even this forecast, right? We're tapping into the universal energy of what's happening on this planet, planetarily, and we're giving you a framework for the month. We're telling you some things that are potentially going to influence you and how they're going to potentially influence you. It doesn't mean that you have to live every second and every day of your life by what this wealth forecast has. And in fact, one of the things that I firmly believe is that we're given this information. And the reason I even do these forecasts is so that we can be prepared for what's coming, so that we can step into our sovereignty, so that we can live the life that we're choosing to live instead of one that's being dictated to us. So I love what you said about astrology being a framework. You know, I'm a huge, huge, you know, I love human design. I've been living my human design experiment for about 5.5, 6 years. And it has a lot to do with how I show up in my life. But I am always coming back to, it's a framework. I'm a Sagittarius sun, Virgo rising, Aries moon. It's one of my frameworks that I get to operate inside of that shows me where some of my strengths are and where some of my weaknesses are. And gives me an opportunity to show up as my best self, knowing that. But it's just information, you guys. Like, you don't have to live a life dictated by your human design or your astrological sign or any of the stuff that we're telling you today in this forecast.
Mm. Absolutely. And especially human design, because that's based off astrology, right? And it's like, is it 80 days prior is your subconscious line, is that correct? Like when the soul enters the body?
Yeah, around that. It's like it might be 88.
Yeah, I think 80. So. Something like that. Yeah. I found that to be such a great tool to utilize with astrology, just because of course, the connection. However, I remember reading my first human design report and being like, damn, there's a lot of the thoughts that I've had that I thought were ego coming through and I was ignoring, because again, to the programming and conditioning of like not wanting, and the self-worth stuff, you know, of not wanting to believe the good about ourselves, you know. So I feel like that's why tools such as astrology and human design are really, really powerful to like help people regain their confidence in self as well. Yeah.
So anyone that was wondering that, my cousin Alicia Baker, who is an incredible, incredible human design guide, mentor, coach, she just is next level. She's watching the wealth forecast right now on Facebook, and she just confirmed 88 days. It is 88 days. The bit about the subconscious mind that we were just talking about. So thank you, Alicia. And if you haven't, if you're not following Alicia and you haven't checked out Alicia, please go find her on all of the social medias. She is an incredible human design coach. She's got a amazing Facebook group also where she gives so much epic free content and value. So check her out. We'll put some links to Alicia's stuff in the comment section of the podcast and of the YouTube and Brighton videos for those of you that are watching on those platforms. Okay, so Amanda, let's dive in. Let's talk about July. We were chatting a little bit prior to pushing go and attempting to get live streamed into all the places, which had its hiccups because we both have Mercury very prominently in our charts. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, but we've been having some technological struggles the last few days. So tell us why you and I particularly have some issues when it comes to tech. And just because Mercury is out of retrograde doesn't mean you and I are in the clear.
No, that's right. Yeah. So because you're a Mercury, you're a Virgo ascendant, your Mercury rules your chart. So I'm a Mercury sun, like I'm a Virgo sun in the third house. So that's a triple whammy because third house is ruled by Gemini and thus Mercury. So I'm a triple whammy of Mercurial energy there. And with your chart ruler being Mercury as well. And we've both discovered through chatting that we've both got Mercury in the 10th right now, or Gemini in the 10th right now, because of my progressions anyway, is what puts it there. But with Mercury having stationed and started to move direct again, it's picking up its speed again, you know. So with everything that we've been revising and with the aspects that it's making to Uranus and the other planets, it's sort of like glitching our system, so to speak, of how we're connecting with the world. And especially because we've got the North Node there now at 10 degrees, you know, like by December, the North Node's going to be moving out of Gemini and into Taurus. So until December, we're going to be coming up against that North Node Gemini, like Mercurial rule North Node as well, which is really heavy placement for us. So yeah, like,
so for everyone at home that gets annoyed, any of my clients at home that get annoyed when I can't go live or when I'm having all these hiccups with my live streams, now you know why. It's not my fault. So I guess we should just dive in and talk about this. Because this is really what's alive and happening at the beginning of the month, is this Mars-Uranus square. And I know we've got this Uranus square thing happening all through July. So let's talk a little bit about that. Give us some insight on what's happening. Before you dive into that, though, I do want to say that we had a little bit of a reprieve in June. We had a month that was quite positive energetically until we sort of moved into the very end of the month, like the 25th of June and forward got a little hairy, but we had a good sort of reprieve. Unfortunately, July's not looking like it's going to be that. And so I'm just giving a heads up to the people at home that the energy is going to be a little bit hectic this month. We've got some transits and some aspects that are happening that obviously we're going to talk to you about right now, but some things happening at the beginning of the month, some things happening mid-month, things happening end of month, that for me really feel like this month is about really, really, truly looking at personally where we are, very honestly, how we've gotten to the place that we are. And when I say we, I mean us individually, but also as a collective. Like, how did we get here? How did we get to this place of medical tyranny? How did we get to this place of control and manipulation? Because there's going to be a lot of anxiety and tension here at the beginning of the month. A lot of alarmism. I think that we're going to see some power plays made this month by different governments across the planet. And so I think it's really important that this month we be focusing on where is it that we're desiring to go individually, personally, and as a collective. And we talked about this with some of the activation that I did last month, that was a lot of the theme in that activation that I did at the beginning of June, or the 10th of June, I believe. But there is going to be a tendency for us to slip back into those self-destructive behaviors as a collective and as individuals. So this month, it's really important to keep ourselves in check, to be very disciplined, and to be like doubling down on the personal work that we know supports us in the world. So that's kind of like my feeling of the overall theme of the month. So Amanda, maybe you want to riff on that a little bit, and then let's just dive directly into kind of what's happening between July 1st and 3rd with Mars Uranus. And then also maybe you just want to touch on what's happening with the Uranus squares throughout the month.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, like from the first of the month through to about, I think, a third or the fourth is when we're going to feel that really agitated, like frustration energy because of the aspects to Mars that we're seeing now having entered Leo. It does bring about that I just want to get it done. I just want to do it this way. However, we're being confronted with other harder aspects, which are making us not just second guess ourselves, but also what's coming through right now is because we're seeing the Neptune retrograding, this is going to be coming back into square with Mercury. And this is also, as we know, whenever the Sun, Moon or Mercury square Neptune, this messes with us cognitively. Right? Like, because Mercury rules the linear mind, you know, and the dual mind, and it's coming back into a square aspect to Neptune. So this is why the escapism that you were talking about, like, not in so many words, you didn't use that word, but it will force us to want to remove ourselves from whatever's difficult, when in fact that's the leading edge we need to lean into so that we can more embody what it is, what our path is and what our truth is going forward, you know. And so through till when Mercury comes out of its post-retrograde shadow, that doesn't end until the 9th of July. So with all of this like icky confrontational energy that we're going to be feeling up until then, like I feel collectively it would be a really good idea just to continue making plans, continue making notes. Where do you want to invest in yourself where do you want to invest in your value, not just in a financial capacity, but in yourself. And up until the ninth, until Mercury leaves that post shadow, you know, then it'll be easier for you to take action steps forward, is what I'm feeling there.
Yeah. You know, I think that this energy definitely, and I know that we'll talk about moving into like new moon in Cancer, which happens to be that same day, July 9th, right? Sometimes our dates are a little bit off because I'm in one part of the world and you're in another. But we'll chat about that. So beginning of the month, it's like, watch the anxiety, watch the tension, like watch your tendency to buy into the alarmism that may be happening at the collective and global level. Just remember that we don't have to have our lives dictated by what's happening in the global agenda. And so though we may see some things happening that we feel like are scary or are going to really impact us, like remember to just always bring it back to your sovereign being. Like you are in charge of yourself and you ultimately have all the power in your reality as long as you choose to hold on to that power. So I think that's going to be really important during the first part of July, because I'm imagining that we're going to see a little bit of a shit show on the global stage. And so just remember your power, remember your sovereignty. What's the next powerful aspect that's coming up for you?
For me, for what the collective is going to be seeing, I feel that we're going to be entering into what they call a balsamic phase of the moon in the lead up to the new moon, right? Now, this is going to amplify that diving into the shadows aspects of clearing out the muck, so to speak, before we enter and experience the new moon in Cancer. And this is going to be a really moody moon. This is going to be a really, it's going to be sextile Uranus. It's also going to be trining Neptune retrograde, which is a good aspect. It's going to be in opposition, though, to Pluto retrograde, which is going to make it even more moodier because we'll feel that polarity pull more. So I feel like until Mercury ingresses into Cancer, which is the day after the new moon, I feel that it's going to be very much based on what do we want, because Mercury will be in Leo, okay, at the same time as the new moon. So that'll be one of the main aspects I would be focusing on personally, will be, because I'm a Cancer ascendant, so whenever we have the sun in Cancer or a moon transiting Cancer, it really, it can knock me about a bit, you know, like my ascendant and my north node are conjunct in Cancer. So I always feel that. So it would be for you personally, like on a personal level, like track to see where the moon is going to land in your natal chart, like what house, you know, similarly to when we feel the shifts of Mercury ingressing into Cancer, like what house is that for you? You know, like if it's in the fourth house, that's the home of Cancer. So you're going to be focused on how you can amplify and change things in around the home, you know? So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And then do you want to talk a little bit about, yeah, what are you seeing as the themes for this new moon in Cancer? I know we've talked about it being moody, but as it relates to sort of the collective and the decisions that we're making and how we're progressing through the month, is there anything specific there that you want to touch on or any divine guidance or?
Yeah, well, what's coming through now is the fact that the new moon's going to be at 18 degrees of Cancer, which is not the highest of octaves. However, it's a strong degree being 18. And I feel that it's going to be more of a maturity level or finding a new level of maturity within self. Like as we spoke about in the intro, like it's linking back to that for me right now is like, you know, what you were saying about we are sovereign beings. We get to decide on how we're going to show up, you know, and like in the Southern Hemisphere, this will be in the third house of Gemini and Mercury. So depend on where you are in the world as to what house this is going to be hitting off in, of course. However, with that being in the Southern Hemisphere here, it's going to be about analyzing how do you show up in the world? How do you show up for your friends and family as well in the third? And also movement forward and how you communicate as well, you know. And I feel that will be a blending, of course, until we hit the first quarter of the moon. So like the week after the new moon, I feel that's going to be when we start taking action steps towards implementing this new way in which we want to be at home within and finding that equilibrium within of how we want to show up, so that we aren't riding that emotional wave, you know, all the time, and coming back to our center point is what I want to say right now. Yeah.
And then we have Mercury moving into Cancer the day after or 2 days after, depending upon where you are in the world.
Yeah, exactly. So then it'll be even more of a focus on what's going within, you know?
Yeah. So Mercury moving into Cancer can make communication quite emotional, right? Like it can make us, so it's important that we're really paying attention to and focusing on making sure our communication is clear and concise, because often when our emotions come into play, we can be, again, quite rash in how we're delivering things. We're not really tapping into and feeling into who our audience is. And so just a reminder to be mindful in your communication mid-month, well, from the 11th and, you know, on into the month as Mercury is hanging out in sometimes very emotional Cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at my notes here as well. Because when the moon does ingress into Leo after the new moon, it's going to be coming into square with Uranus and opposing Saturn retrograde. So this is going to like angst up that even more of how do I reclaim my individual self while at the same time not lashing out, not coming straight from a wounded space is what I want to say with Mercury in Cancer, you know. So exactly what you said, like just being really mindful and keyword respond, don't react, like respond to situations as opposed to just being all gung-ho and lashing out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then we literally move into a Chiron retrograde in Aries on the 15th. And so for a lot of us, our Chiron is in Aries because Chiron stays in a sign quite long. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. It wasn't the last time it was there. It was in the 60s. And I believe 1974 is coming to mind now. I can't remember exactly how long the transit was, but 1974 is coming up right now. So
I'm 76 birthday and I have Chiron in Aries. So this mid-month for me is going to be interesting. This is the time of the month where I was saying like we're really going to get this hit collectively around desiring to dive deeply into self-discovery, but the shadow side of this. So like we're going to be really motivated to spend time on self, to, you know, dive deeply into our spiritual practices, to look at how we want to show up as our highest and best selves. But the shadow side of that and the other thing that we're going to be facing a little bit is that sometimes strong influence of like the repressed anger and any anger that we've been repressing coming out. And also like just this tendency, and we were talking about this at the beginning, but of those self-destructive behaviors to come out, those self-sabotaging behaviors to come out. So, you know, if you're somebody that's really been working on overspending or overeating or over drinking,
that's right. Because as like before we went live, as I mentioned to you, you know, like someone with who is born with Chiron in the first house or Chiron in Aries, they're going to have found that throughout their lives there has been this theme of not enoughness, you know, and that's what the shadow archetype of Chiron in Aries is like, you know, nitpicking as well, you know, like, oh, is my nose too big for my face? Are my ears too big? Like, you know, what's wrong with my body, you know? And it can like be like, well, how can I change my body? You know, it's all about the physical vessel. as well as all it depends on what else is going on in that first house or what else is going on in Aries. But Chiron in Aries will have you doubting your worth based on what you look like physically, you know, so it can lead to things like body dysmorphia as well. So considering we've seen this Chiron returning to Aries, it's really not a surprise to me that we've seen, like, you know, the personal trainers and like people like in that industry of like physical wellness and things like that really pick up as well since this ingress.
Yeah.
Interesting to me that this kind of this Free Britney Spears movement that's kind of re-peaked its head, right, is coming about as this is getting ready to happen. And she also, I'm pretty sure, has Chiron in Aries. But it's interesting to see how this is happening, right? Because it's like, well, what happened with her? All the self-destructive behaviors, all the repressed anger, like all that surfaced and came to light. She's basically been living in a prison for the last 13 years. And she's now saying, no, I want my freedom. Like, no, like I dove deeply into self-discovery. Like, I want to be my own woman now. I want to be sovereign. I want to step out of this. And so that just popped to mind because I've been following this a little bit because I'm watching this story not as a like, oh, I want to watch something that's in the tabloids, but more as a, wow, this is a real representation of what is happening in the United States on a global level. Like this level of tyranny and suppression of the individual, this story is just a blaring example of what's happening overall in the United States. So I think it's interesting with a lot of these placements that we've talked about so far, like we've got this one story that's kind of playing out on the global stage that it will be really interesting to watch through the month of July, because I think it's very representative of what's happening in the collective right now.
Oh, absolutely. And with Jupiter's ingress into Pisces, we haven't seen that since 2010. So Jupiter was 18th of January 2010 was when Jupiter first entered Pisces. And now that it's going retrograde in that, like, that's really, it's taking us back to 1938. It's taking us back to 1855. And like, 1938 was the year that it all kicked off over in Germany. You know, that was the year that, you know, the Jewish had to have their passport stamped with the letter J. It was the year that, like, Jewish artists and Jewish lawyers were prohibited from trading or practicing in Germany. You know, like, if you look at the history surrounding just Jupiter retrograde, not even taking into account Uranus in Taurus, which we know takes us back to, like, that same era, okay, of what we're seeing transpire, then you put on top of that Saturn retrograding in Aquarius as well, which takes us back to 1874 and 1666. You know, this was like the treaty between the Spanish and the French and the Dutch. And so a lot of what the history and what the planets are teaching us through the history, it is playing out verbatim. Like, people are crazy if they think it's not. It's playing out verbatim of what we're seeing right now, just for the 21st century face, is what I keep saying to people. It's just 21st century facade.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's important to look back and see what history teaches us through planetary alignments and things that were happening, because history does repeat itself, and it is repeating itself right now. We are literally seeing, and unfortunately, we have progressed as a species so much that the ability to control and manipulate us has become greater. So you're seeing the same levels of oppression, but it's able to happen on a grander scale because of how much we're controlled and we can be controlled and manipulated by the media. We didn't have this type of media, you know, during the Second World War. That wasn't a reality. We were depending upon newspapers that sometimes were delivering news that was of events that were happening days later, right? By the time that information was able to travel. So now we have, it's real time. The manipulation is real time. But it's important for us to, like, understand this is what's happening. This isn't a joke. This isn't a, you know, it's not 14 days to flatten the curve. That's not what's happening here. We have massive, massive global manipulation and control happening. And it's going to continue. It's not ending. Like, it's ongoing. And so that's one of the reasons why what we were talking about as sort of the theme of this month, why it's so important for you to decide, how do you want to be living your life? How do you want to move forward? What are you going to do now in this moment and over the next several months to set yourself up to be a sovereign being, to take back your control from the global financial agenda?
That's what I was about to say. You took the words right out of my mouth. It's like, it's taking back our control. It's like, it doesn't matter how much manipulation they try and enforce down our throats, you know, it's like, it's remaining grounded despite the fear-mongering that the mainstream media is attempting to paralyze us with, you know, like, we have all of the spiritual tools. We know about meditation. We know our connection to God, Source, Creator, you know, like, and it's all about coming back to that each time. Because, you know, even though you and I, we do the work, and a lot of us do the work, there are still times when we're just like, for fuck's sake, I can't believe this is still going on. Like, we have those moments of, is this story still really playing out? I'm going to go freaking troppo in a moment. Like, I can't believe I still have to deal with this shit. Like, you know, we all have those moments, but it's like, let's not fall into that, you know. It's like, process it, release it. I go and punch the shit out of a boxing bag, to be honest with you, and then I get on with it, you know. And so It's all that, this whole month, I feel, is definitely going to be remembering that in those moments when we are really pushed to our limits, so to speak.
Yeah. So talk to me, what's happening between sort of this Chiron retrograde in Aries on the 15th and our full moon in Aquarius on the 23rd? What important are you seeing in between those dates?
Well, I'm just looking at my notes right now. I feel what's going to be really noteworthy is seeing that the Virgo moon will be, and then Virgo moon and Libra moon will be making those semi-sextiles to Venus and Mars as well, which we know are our personal planets, okay? And so they're going to be Venus and Mars, sorry. We will experience them being conjunct a lot of the time throughout July. So I feel it's really important, like, within, if you want to look at it from a spiritual level, of really coming back to center, like balancing out our masculinity and our femininity, our divine feminine and masculine within, and working cohesively within together to move forward. Because once we see on the 17th, the moon's going to be moving into Scorpio, and then that the sun will come into opposition with Pluto retrograde in Capricorn. Now, just feeling into that right now, like, we know that Pluto rules Scorpio. We know that that's death, rebirth, and transformation and destruction, right? So when the sun comes into opposition, like, oppositions aren't a negative or a scary aspect. Like, people say they're difficult. They are difficult and they are a challenge. They're not as hard as a square, though. Like, if anything, they're more of an opportunity to balance out and blend those two energies together, right? So on the 17th, when that happens, the day after, we're going to see Gemini, Black Moon Lilith enter Gemini. Now, when this happens, this is when communication gets even harder. Like, we've got North Node in Gemini right now, as well as we're seeing, like, Mercury coming back out of its shadow. But with Black Moon Lilith moving into Gemini, it'll be joining the North Node, you know, within a week. And this is going to amplify that miscommunication, because Black Moon Lilith in Gemini makes us feel that the way in which we communicate is not up to par. It becomes a shadow aspect, right?
And is that date, Black Moon Lilith in Gemini, is that the 17th or the 18th?
I have it as the 18th, but I'm going off of Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 17th or 18th, depending upon where you are in the world, Black Moon Lilith into Gemini.
Yeah. And also the 18th of July will be when the first quarter moon begins. So this is a waxing gibbous moon. So it's really important to remember that this is the time, a waxing gibbous moon leading up into the full moon, is a time of when we create bonds. Yeah, so that miscommunication that the black moon Lilith is going to amplify the north node in Gemini, this is really time to more very much focus on that whole let's respond, don't react energy. You know, it's going to amplify that more.
Okay, great.
And then the other aspect on the 20th would be like that Mercury is going to come into sextile with Uranus. I feel that is a positive thing, because whenever the planets come into a sextile, they're really supportive of one another. Like the planets are having sex, right? So it's like, how can, and Uranus being at its full in Taurus, it's really going to help amplify a way in which we can honor ourselves more. And as you said earlier, like step back into our sovereignty, come back into a grounded knowingness of who we are. Yeah.
And then we have our full moon in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
23rd.
At one degree, Aquarius, yes. So this is going to be making quincunx to Venus. It's going to be making a semi-sextile to Jupiter retrograde. And also Mercury will be in trine to Neptune retrograde. Now, to defrag that, and also Saturn retrograde will be square Uranus. Okay, so like to defrag that, this full moon in Aquarius being ruled by Uranus as well, with these aspects to Venus and also Mercury making a trine to Neptune retrograde, this is going to be, all right, cool. How can I really not just let go of anything that is stopping me but from being my unique self? But because of the quincunx to Venus, it's going to be like a thorn in your side of, this is what I really value, oh, but should I do it? You know what I mean? So it's going to be this full moon, I feel like just feeling into that is really going to help us release that last little blockage, that last like little bit of self-doubt about embracing our unique individuality as a divine sovereign being and soul.
So it has us second guessing ourselves a little bit, but it's the time to really like buckle down on, nope, this is who I desire to be. This is how I'm moving forward. Right in time, by the way, to begin Ouroboros. So to make the decision here at this full moon that you are ready to release this bullshit and not hold on to it anymore, take action, and then start the next round of Ouroboros on the 27th of July. Perfect timing. The stars always align with the launch of my programs. I don't know how or why, but it's just what happens.
It's what feels good. That's why.
Okay. And then anything between the 23rd and the end of the month of note that you want to talk about?
Yes. I'm just looking at my notes again. Yeah, I do. Okay. So from the 20, when we come off of the back of a full moon, we're in a waning gibbous moon. Okay. So this energy is a waning gibbous moon is that of giving graciousness, being in graciousness of like everything that we've set our intentions for, of what we want to manifest on that full moon, of what we want to release on that full moon, you know, because we know with new moons, it's all about new intentions. And with full moons, it's about releasing whatever is preventing us from obtaining that and embodying that and aligning to that frequency of those desires, right? And so then on the back of that moon, we're going to see Mercury come into opposition with Pluto retrograde again. But however, it's going to be in an energy of moving into, on the 26th, a Piscean moon. So it's going to be that mutable water energy and that romantic energy. Like Pisces is the romantic of the zodiac, you know, they're the ones that always have the rose-tinted glasses on, no matter what's going on. And it's going to be that energy up until I feel the 28th, when the moon will ingress into Aries. Okay. So like between the 24th and 28th, Australian time, of course, we're going to see Mercury moving to Leo as well, which is another amazing ingress, I feel. It can make our our speech patterns and our communication even more fiery, and it could make us come across more egotistical, because people hate Leo. They love to hate Leo, right? And like, it's Leo gets misconstrued for being egotistical when in fact they're not. They're just really confident and they know themselves, you know, and that triggers the fuck out of people when people are confident. So this Mercury ingress into Leo on the 28th, we'll also see when that happens, it's going to be coming into opposition with Jupiter retrograding in Aquarius. It's also going to be taking us back to May of 2021 when this happens, because Jupiter's been in Pisces, right? Now it's retrograding, so it's going to be coming back into Aquarius, which we haven't seen, as I said, since the 13th of May, right? And the moon being in Aries, so that more fire energy. So when that happens on the 28th of the month, you're going to see like, okay, cool, well, this is where I was a few months ago, and there's going to be that reassessment. There's going to be that time of, all right, great, well, this is the action I need to take forward now. And still in that waning gibbous moon of being like, wow, like look how far I've come. It's going to really give us that extra confidence, I feel, to be like, I can pretty much create anything I want. I can, you know, I can magnetize whatever I desire into my reality. It's going to really help us do that, because it's going to make us look back to last time Jupiter was in Aquarius.
Amazing, amazing. I'm so excited for all of these. Just it's going to be an incredible month, and it's going to be a really, really illuminating month.
And then I forgot to mention, I just noticed here is on my notes, on the 29th as well, we're going to see Mars leave Leo and ingress into Virgo. So like, talk about an amplification of Leo fire energy, because we know that whenever a planet is in the last decan, and then especially in the last 5 degrees of any sign, it's an absolute focus and amplification of that energy. So similarly to when we felt Mars ingress at the very beginning of Leo, it was like that baby temper tantrum sort of energy of, oh, I just want it this way. Now that we're going to see it at the other end, the polar end, it's going to be more of a spiritual mastery of, yes, okay, this is like, really showing me and highlighting me how I can get my inner fire burning and how I can utilize that sacral energy, you know?
Amazing. Well, how incredible was it to have Amanda with us for the sort of energy, divine download, astrology portion of the Wealth Forecast? Amanda, I'm so grateful that you came and joined me today, and just super grateful for all of your incredible insights. Like, I know that this is just going to make the tarot forecast incredible. So thank you. Would love for you to hang out. I'm going to spotlight my video here so that I can dive into our monthly tarot forecast. We're going to do our day by day as we do.
Okay. So shall we see what the cards have in store for us for the month of July?
We're going to shuffle the cards now, get ready for the forecast. As always, I'm using the Robin Wood Tarot deck, which is my absolute favorite. These cards have had a lot of use over the years. It is the deck that I use to teach with. And we have the Dreamer's Journey Tarot course that is my course that was a huge labor of love, filmed over several days in a boiling hot Bali studio. So if you sign up for that course, then you definitely will get to see me trying to combat sweating balls, basically, for 4 days. It was super intense. Okay. So I am going to do a theme card for the first week of the month, even though the 1st of July is on Thursday. And so we only have 4 days in the first week of July, but I am going to pull a theme card for the week. And then hopefully in the meantime, the team gets me the theme of the month. All right. So first week of the month is actually June 28th through July 4th, but we will pull our theme of the week, which is the Eight of Cups. Eight of Cups, straight up. So this card is the card of walking away without regret. So in this first week of the month where we've been talking about the anxiety and the tension and the alarmism and not making rash decisions with this Mars Uranus square that we talked about, we've got this card, Eight of Cups, right side up. This is the card literally saying walk away without regret. So while we're saying don't make rash decisions, if there's a decision that you know, if you are feeling a soul aligned with a decision to walk away from something, walk away. But I also think that this card can be indicating it's really a time to walk away from all of this alarmism, to walk away from this global control and manipulation that we're experiencing. So that's the theme of the week. And then we're going to jump to Thursday, July 1st. We have the Strength card right side up. So the eighth card in the Major Arcana, the Strength card, that card is right side up, meaning we have the strength to do and take care of anything that's coming up for us on this day. So whatever challenges you're facing on Thursday the 1st, know that you have the strength to make it through, tap into that inner power, into that inner sovereignty. And I love the Strength card also because to me it always represents Leo, and we've got a lot of Leo energy showing up this month in July. So perhaps a sign of things to come as we move into August, that like we have the strength that we need to really deal with all of whatever is coming up for ourselves individually and for the collective. So Friday, July 2nd, we have the Seven of Pentacles reversed. So this is the card of getting a return on our investment. Seven of Pentacles reversed. And so essentially what it's meaning is we're not receiving a return on investment. So Friday, perhaps we were hoping for some money to come through. Perhaps we were hoping to get a return on some hard work that we had put into something. And this card is reverse, meaning it's not coming quite yet or it's coming delayed. So it doesn't mean that we're not going to see a return. It just simply means that that return is coming delayed. Saturday, July 3rd, we have the Hermit card reversed. So card 9 in the Major Arcana reversed. The Hermit card reversed. So this is the card, this is my birth card actually. It is the card of the spiritual teacher, but it's also the card of having a really, really innate knowing that we have all of the answers inside of ourselves. And so to me, this card showing up in the reverse position really is that inclination and warning to us that whatever's happening this week, making sure that we're tapping into the inner knowing, knowledge and wisdom of self, that is the most important thing, that it's not time to seek external counseling. It's time to come inside and ask ourselves, what is it that we truly desire? So really, really in line with everything that we've been talking about for this first week of July that was happening astrologically. So Sunday the 4th, we have the Three of Wands reversed. So this is the card literally of our ships coming in when it's right side up. So again, delayed. So ships coming in, money coming in that we were perhaps expecting, results that we were hoping to happen this first week of July, not happening yet. Ships coming in delayed. So really expecting some delays to happen here in the first part of the month. Just something to be aware of. Nothing to freak out about. So second week of the month, which is the 5th of July through the 11th of July, the theme for the week is the Tower reversed. So the Tower card, card 16 in the Major Arcana, the Tower card, it's reversed. So this is the position that we always want to see the Tower card in, right? We never want to see the Tower card right side up because that means the shit's about to hit the fan. But it's reversed, meaning that the worst is over. So whatever was happening this previous week, the theme of this week is we've moved through it. So we've moved through this Mars, Uranus square, all of this tension that was happening the first week of July. As we're moving into the second week of July, this card indicating to us that we've moved through all of that. The worst is over. So Monday, the 5th of July, we have the Empress right side up. So card 3 in the major arcana, the Empress, it is right side up. This is the card of creation. This is the card of birth. This is the card of giving birth to new projects. So really looking, you know, as we've now moved out of Mercury retrograde, and though we're still giving some warnings about really making sure that all your ducks are in a row, it's like, now is the time to start birthing those new projects, all those ideas that we had during Mercury retrograde. It's like, yep, time to start stepping forward, stepping into creation mode, stepping into creation and getting ready to give birth to new projects. So then we move to Tuesday, July 6th, and we have the King of Wands right side up. So we're starting this forecast and this week really with some incredible cards. I feel like even though we've got a little bit of tension the first week, the cards are telling us we have the strength. We have the strength to move forward. Now as we're moving into the second week, it's like time to step into creation mode with the Empress card. Time to give birth to new projects. And then this card, the King of Wands, to me always indicates fully stepping into our power around our purpose work and our passion projects. So again, we're getting really strong guidance that this is the week to start moving forward with new projects. This is the week to start moving forward with passion projects, with purpose work. And then we move into July 7th, Wednesday, July 7th, we have the Two of Pentacles reversed. Two of Pentacles reversed on Wednesday, July 7th. This is the card of juggling two things, and it's showing up in the reverse position. So it's indicating to us it is time to let go of something. It is time to stop juggling. It's time to put one thing down. So whatever it is that you feel like is out of balance in your life, or the things that you feel like you're juggling, especially when it comes to money and finances, because this is a Pentacles card, it's like, it's time to drop one of the balls, okay? Thursday, July 8th, we have the Sun card reversed. A lot of reversed cards in this reading, which is interesting. Sun card reversed on Thursday, July 8th. To me, this card always indicates it's a time for us to pay attention to the children in our lives. Emotionally, children upside down on the 8th. We may also see something happening on the global stage around sex trafficking. This card lately has been coming up quite a bit when we start to see things with children revealed. So this card may indicate that we see something, the Sun card reversed, card 19 in the major arcana, we see something with children being revealed on the 8th of July. Friday, the 9th of July, we have the Moon card straight up, secrets, right? So, but we also have, I love it when this happens. So this happens frequently, right? This is actually the moon. It's the day of the moon. It's the day of the new moon. So we literally have the moon card on the day of the new moon, depending on where you are in the world. But July 9th in the northern hemisphere, and we've literally got these cheeky little cards telling us that we have a new moon coming up. So Saturday the 10th, we have the death card, something dying. Card 13 in the major arcana, the death card. On Saturday the 10th, something coming to an end. So we've got something being revealed around children or children upside down. The moon card on Friday the 9th, but the moon also indicates secrets, and then something dying, something ending on Saturday the 10th. On Sunday the 11th, we have the world card, card 21 in the major arcana, the world card right side up. The world is our oyster. We feel whole, feeling whole. So that week feels really, really powerful to me. It's like we're stepping into creation mode. We're being called to step into our creative power and to really embrace our purpose work and do the things in the world that we're meant to be doing. We're being called to stop juggling two things, which may indicate even further that it's time to go all in on our purpose work. Something interesting happening towards the end of the week with children and secrets and something ending. But then by the end of the week on Sunday, we've got the world card right side up, meaning we're feeling whole, everything's going well. So we will pull a theme card for the next week, which is the 12th of July through the 18th of July. The theme for that week, the Seven of Cups right side up, the decisions needing to be made. To me, this card is feeling very strongly that it is decisions needing to be made. Sometimes it's the card of daydreaming, but it feels very much like the theme of this week, decisions needing to be made. This is the week that Chiron goes retrograde in Aries. And so that's interesting. I do want to visit this actually. Mercury moves into Cancer on July 11th. That's that day actually that we've got the World card showing right side up. So positive, right? Positive movement of Mercury into Cancer is what that's telling us. So this week, July 12th through the 18th, so we have a theme card of needing to make decisions. So focus this week being on making decisions. So Monday, July 12th, we have the Six of Swords reversed, another reversed card. Six of Swords reversed. This is the card of moving to higher ground or travel across water when it's right side up. So we may see some new restrictions coming into play this week, prohibiting travel across water. So my suggestion to you is if you need to make a trip across water, you do it prior to this day, Monday the 12th. When this card comes up, especially now with what we have going on in the world, definitely can be an indicator of lockdowns, of cancellations of trips, of issues and difficulty with travel, especially with Mercury being so prominent in this reading during this month. So Monday the 12th, not moving to higher ground, not traveling across water. And then we move into Tuesday the 13th. We have the Knight of Swords reversed. This is one card that we want to see in the reverse position because when it's right side up, it means somebody's bullshitting us. But we've got the Knight of Swords reversed on Tuesday the 13th. This can indicate lies being revealed. Somebody who is being deceitful and not truthful with us, that is being revealed on Tuesday the 13th. Wednesday the 14th, we have the Three of Pentacles reversed. So Three of Pentacles reversed, another reversed card. This is the card of getting things ready to go to market. And when it's right side up, it usually indicates that things aren't quite ready. Keep working on them. It's in the reverse position. So this is interesting to me. It means it's time to go. Like the wait is over and we've moved out of the post shadow now of Mercury retrograde. So this is telling us like any contracts you've been waiting to sign, you can sign them now. Anything that you've been waiting to move forward with, you can move forward with them now. So again, on Wednesday the 14th, like all signs a go, move forward with anything contractually that you've been waiting on, anything that you've been ready to take to market, time to move forward. Three of Pentacles reversed on Wednesday the 14th. Thursday the 15th, we have the Star card right side up. Like one of our favorite cards always, right? 17 in the Major Arcana, the Star card right side up. So this card indicating that the heavens are working for us, that we feel like the heavens are working for us. So things really going well there on the 15th. I think that's fascinating because that is actually the day that Chiron goes retrograde in Aries. So it's like while we're on this journey of self-discovery, it's like stepping into that journey of self-discovery, really feeling like the heavens are working for us. So that's really positive to have that card show up on this day that Chiron goes retro in Aries. Friday the 16th, we have the Two of Wands reversed. So Two of Wands reversed. This is a card of long-term partnership. And so whatever's happening for you this week, this card to me is just an indicator of everything doesn't have to last forever. It's okay for things to be okay for the right now. Everything doesn't have to be a long-term partnership. But we may also have things being revealed along the lines or around long-term partnerships, secrets being revealed or information being revealed about long-term partnerships on Friday the 16th. Saturday the 17th, we have the Four of Swords reversed, another reversed card. Four of Swords reversed. This is the card of healing. So I like this here. Chiron, by the way, is the wounded healer. So very interesting that the day after Chiron goes retrograde in Aries, we have the Four of Swords showing up in a reverse position, meaning we're coming out of healing, coming out of healing. Mark, wounded healer going retrograde and we're coming out of healing. So that's good. It's like, you know, the personal work that we've been doing, the spiritual work that we've been doing, the growth and expansion work that we've been doing, all the healing that we've needed to do. It's like, okay, now it's time to step out of that. Like we're healed. So that's a beautiful card to be coming up at the end of the week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then we have Sunday, the 18th, the Chariot card, card 7 in the Major Arcana. This is the card of ultimate victory, putting the wheels on the cart, moving forward. So huge theme this week is time to make decisions, right? Time to make decisions. You know, some stuff at the beginning of the week around not moving to higher ground, not traveling across water, and then some deceptions being revealed. So Monday, Tuesday of the week, but really strong indication on Wednesday of the week that it's time to move forward with the things that we've been working on. The heavens are working for us. A reminder that everything doesn't have to be long-term, like what's right for you right now. It's okay for it to just be right for right now. Coming out of healing, and then a really strong message on Sunday at the end of the week, like, yep, it's time to put the wheels on the cart. Start moving forward with your projects. So that's really beautiful to have that coming on the 18th of the month. Now we step into the third week of the month, the 19th through the 25th. The theme of the month, the Page of Wands reversed. And I think that's potentially why we were getting such strong messages the second and the third week of the month to really like move forward with the purpose projects, to step into those. Because what this is saying is this week is not a time to sow seeds around purpose work. Be wary of seeds being planted or sown around purpose and purpose work and passion work this week. It's not the time to focus on that. So Monday, the 19th, we have the Fool card. So this is interesting. So we've got these warnings to not focus on purpose and passion projects, but Monday we're getting a message to take the leap. So it is time to move forward. And I think really what this is imprinting and solidifying is it's time to move forward with the things that arose the previous week where we had that. Three of Pentacles reverse, Chariot card, right side up. Now it's like, take the leap. Stop waiting. Stop procrastinating. Do the things, right? The Fool card on Monday, the 19th. Tuesday, the 20th, we have the Page of Pentacles reverse. So two pages coming up this week, right at the beginning of the week, and both reversed. Page of Pentacles. So sowing seeds about financial endeavors. So again, an indicator. Now is not the time. It's not the time to be planting seeds for new business ventures during this week. Wednesday, the 21st, 10 of Swords, right side up. This is a card we don't like to see in readings. Card of Betrayal, 10 of Swords, right side up. This is the 21st. This is the day after that Mercury sextile Uranus. Getting ready to be moving into that full moon in Aquarius energy, but feeling betrayed there on Wednesday, the 21st. Thursday, the 22nd, we have the Ace of Swords, right side up. So this is definitely a call and a time to be clear and concise and truthful and honest and in integrity when it comes to our communication. So Thursday, the 22nd, be in integrity, be clear and concise in your communication. Friday, the 23rd, we have the Queen of Wands upside down. So this is the card. She's the queen of purpose and passion projects, right? She's upside down. So feeling upside down in our purpose work on the 23rd of July. 24th of July, we have the Knight of Cups reversed. Knight of Cups reversed, 23rd of July. This night indicating we are not receiving messages or offers of love, the ones that we've desired. So not receiving messages or offers of love. So this week being a little hectic, Saturday the 24th with the Knight of Cups upside down. But we end the week strong again. So one of the things I'm loving about this reading is that almost every week, with the exception of that very first Sunday, the 4th, we've ended the week really strongly with really, really strong cards. 10 of Cups, right side up, the card of the happy family. Even though the week's been rough, even though we've had some challenges, even though we've felt some betrayals, even though we felt like this week has been a non-starter, we end the week with the happy family card. Everything upright and happy in the family. So that's positive to end on that note. And then we have the final week of the month, the 26th of July through August 1st. So we will pull cards for the 26th through the 31st. So the theme of the week is going to be the Three of Cups upside down. So this is not a card that we like to get as a theme of a week because it means we don't have anything to celebrate and we're not having fun. So this last week of July looks like it's going to be a little bit challenging and difficult. Monday the 26th, we have the Knight of Wands reversed. So not receiving the messages that we're desiring to receive around purpose work, passion projects. So that's happening Monday the 26th. Tuesday, the 27th, we've got the Devil card right side up. So card 15 in the major arcana, the Devil card. This card gets a little bit of a bad rap, but I think with really having this theme of this week being that we're not having fun, to me, this Devil card, it always indicates it's time for us to break free of past patterns that have been holding us back. And so I think really being called as we're moving into this final week of the month to, again, look at what's holding us back from our sovereignty and being really, really willing to let go of those things that aren't serving us. Stop fighting, start releasing. So Wednesday, the 28th of July, we have the Page of Swords upside down. We've got another page card reversed. All the pages reversed basically at this point. So again, like this card usually indicates people are gossiping, communication isn't running smoothly. Lots of swords energy in these last few weeks of the month. That obviously has a lot to do with Mercury. Mercury rules swords and communication. But so this is a warning to you. Don't gossip. This is a warning to you. Be careful with your communication. But also, Page of Swords can indicate that like stuff's being revealed. And Page of Swords frequently has to do with internet communication. So we might be seeing somebody's emails being released at the end of the month. So that was just another hit that I just got. So let's stay tuned for that. That's Wednesday the 28th. Thursday the 29th, we have the 10 of Wands right side up, the card of feeling burdened. So we're feeling burdened by the things that we're dealing with this last week of the month. I told you we weren't going to be having fun. Sorry, I hate delivering forecasts like this, but it is what it is, right? You don't always get the perfect or amazing week. So that's Thursday the 29th, Friday the 30th. But look at this. See, we keep ending the week good. That's amazing. Friday the 30th, we've got the Nine of Cups right side up. Nine of Cups is the card of getting your wish. This is the get your wish card. So regardless of the fuckery and the shit show that we're dealing with all through the week, it's like the end of the week comes, Friday comes, we're getting our wish. And Saturday the 31st, we have the Two of Swords reversed. So this is really an indicator that we need to make sure that things are in balance. So this is showing us like you're getting your wish, but some things are out of balance. You need to bring them into balance. And Amanda has just said that emails being revealed on the 28th aligns with that Jupiter ingress back into Aquarius. So let's look for collectively what may be happening with that Page of Swords energy reversed. So, but at the end of the week, we're really being called to bring our life into balance. So Two of Swords reversed. Time to make some decisions and really time to like get life into balance. So somebody just gave me the card of the month. July 5th was Five of Pentacles reversed. So no surprise that we pulled a reading for the month that had heaps and heaps of reversed cards. Our theme of the month was reversed. Five of Pentacles reversed. So Five of Pentacles reversed. Five of Pentacles is the card of missed opportunities. And so Five of Pentacles reversed is like, hey, there's going to be lots of opportunities this month. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss them. But if you remain aware and you stay focused and you really pay attention to what's arising and what's coming up for you, you're not going to miss the opportunities. So the card, the Five of Pentacles card in reverse position is actually very positive reversed, but now we see why we had so many reversed cards during the month. And so what that often indicates to me is that all of this reversed card energy that we got during the month, they're warnings, right? So there are places where we can be like, oh, I have the potential of being in this energy of the reversed card, but I know I'm prepared, right? So I can shift that energy into a positive perspective and a positive trajectory. So that is our July wealth forecast. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much to Amanda for joining. Just absolutely, absolutely incredible to have her on here, to have her insight. And to have her join. So make sure that you go follow her in all the places. Amanda, do you want to pop on really quick and tell the people where they can follow you and where they can find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, thank you so much. I was just typing in the chat, like, thank you so much for the invitation. Like, it's an honor to like work with you in this way, in this capacity. And yes, I'm on all of the socials Alchemy with Amanda is my business page, and I have both Instagram accounts of my personal and my Alchemy with Amanda official, and I'm on Twitter, my website. Yeah, all of the things. And of course, my link in my bio, my link tree has all of the links, so you can connect with me via HiVibe as well. And yeah.
Incredible. So go watch the Luna Elements. Yeah, go watch the Luna Elements show on HiVibe for sure. We will drop all the links to all the ways that you can contact Amanda in the description of the podcast, and we will see you next month for the August wealth forecast. In the meantime, go out, make it an incredible month. Remember that this is a framework for you to go out and create the life that you deeply desire. Remember also that it is your divine birthright to be wealthy in all areas of your life, and you are so worthy and you are so deserving. So go out there and create that magic for yourself. Until next time, this is Leah Steele, the Wealth Witch, signing off. That's a wrap. Thank you for joining me. Remember, wealth is a mindset, and you are the most powerful creator in your reality. Until next time, this is Leah Steele, the Wealth Witch, signing off.